Okay, we're just gonna start off with a quick video as an icebreaker. Okay. Okay. That wasn't bad, right? Okay, so I chose that one. This thing is gonna be the death of me. Okay. I chose that one because that's like my life. Who wears yoga pants or stretchy pants or, yeah, girls, right? We're all girls. I'm a mom, and that's all I wear. Tonight I have these really uncomfortable stretchy pants on. They're jeans. They're kind of like jeggings, I guess. And I would rather be in my yoga pants. So that's where I'm coming from tonight. So I'm just excited to talk to you guys tonight. As you can see, I'm speaking to you about something that is near and dear to my heart, Candy Crush. No, I changed it to Can't Be Crushed. Who plays Candy Crush here? Anybody? Anybody? No. No? Okay. Well, I was gonna show you a little bit about it, but I couldn't find a good clip. But it's just a fun game. It's actually very addictive. But tonight we're gonna talk a little bit about it. I'm just gonna open a prayer and then we'll begin. God, I wanna thank you for every single girl that's here tonight, Lord, that you've brought here for a reason, for a purpose this weekend, Lord. Because you just want to invade their hearts, Lord, and you want to speak to them in such a special way tonight, God. And I pray that this message that you've given me, Lord, will just fall on open ears tonight, Lord, and that your word will just come through like a force, Lord, in their lives. Even if they've heard it before, God, that it will be like something new to them tonight, Jesus, and that it'll just change them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so like I said, I've been married to Pastor Matthew for 8.5 years. We're in the South Porcupine Church. We're new here. We've been here for about 6 months. We've been together for 10 years this year, and it's been adventures. We've had 5 moves already. We've lived in 3 different cities. We've literally sold everything to follow the call of God, and we moved north almost 2 years ago. So to move this up a little bit. We have 3 beautiful children, Samuel, Josiah, and our newest little girl. You guys all heard cry tonight, Evie, or Evangeline. She's 6 months old. And she's just like any girl. She's a lot of work. However, I'd have a million more of her because she's just a joy to have. And having a girl is so different than my boys. There's a sweetness about her, a heart-melting smile, an intense need to protect her from this world. And my boys were definitely mama's boys as well. They loved to cuddle when they were younger, but they were content to just play by themselves or sleep by themselves. Evie, however, has a need to just be with me all the time. Like tonight's actually one of the first times I've left her with somebody else. She doesn't want to sleep without me. She won't just play on the floor without me. She just cries unless she's with me. So it's kind of created this like codependency on the two of us that I've never really understood before. And every Wednesday night I run junior high and I leave her with Matthew just this past couple weeks for like an hour. And then I like run home because she'll be crying and waiting for me to feed her. And she'll only stop crying if she has mommy. So she needs me to survive. And it's kind of a good feeling. And the reason I'm telling you about that tonight is because there's something that God has really been speaking to me lately about, and it's the relationship that we have with Him. It's just like the relationship that Evie and I have, except a little more intense. In John 15:5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing." So apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from me, my baby girl would be okay. For some reason, I couldn't feed her. She would figure out pretty quickly that in order to eat, she had to take a bottle from daddy or someone else. There would be quite a few tears shed, but she would survive. Life would go on. And when I think about how codependent she is on me and she would still be okay, this scripture is even more astounding to me, because God is saying that apart from Him, we're nothing. We can't do anything. Another translation says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches, and when you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing." So we know this already, right? I'm sure you've all heard this verse, especially for those of you who have grown up in the church. We've heard that since we were young, that God has known us before we were even born. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He created us in our mother's womb. He knows our thoughts. So yeah, we know that God made us, literally. And what I think that we tend to miss for us Christians, is that we can do nothing without him. But we try and we try and we try to do life without him. This word used in the scripture, remain, has been translated as abide, and it pictures a relationship bound to him, a vital union with God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. See, we can produce a lot of things in life without God. We can be good people. We can do good for others. We can even bring others to Christ by sharing with them the love of Jesus. But what Jesus is talking about, this vital union, will bring a divine life, such as the one we see in Jesus, that is fully dependent on God's own character, power, and guidance at work in our lives. And so why am I talking to you today about the importance of remaining in a vital relationship with God? Because when we read on in God's word in the book of John, still in chapter 15, just after this verse about remaining in him, it says, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." And since we live in the north, I know that an image of a bonfire may have just popped in your head, like it does for me. And what happens when we take firewood and we put it in that bonfire? Everything just disintegrates. So this is an important message for me to give to you today. Like I said, God's been really speaking to my own heart about it, because Matthew and I are passionate about what happens to you. And because we know that your life can be one of passion, of miracles, of blessing, of faithfulness, of adventure, of pure joy, or it can be one that has no purpose, no meaning, no blessing without God. And I know that everyone here knows at least one person who is living that second way. Many know someone who may have ended their own life because they could not find the meaning in it, and they couldn't stand the pain any longer. Today, I need to remind you, or maybe even tell you for the first time, that it is God's intention that you have life to the fullest. In the book of John, Jesus refers to our enemy, Satan, as a thief. In the Message version of the Bible, in John 10:10, Jesus says, "A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." So he came, and we celebrated Christmas a short while ago. We celebrated the fact that he came as a baby, leaving his Father in heaven to become like one of us. And in a little bit from now, we'll celebrate another important moment when he gave his life on the cross. He made a way for us to remain in him. You see, before he gave himself, our sin made it impossible to have this union with Christ, but he made a way. So not only does he want us to have life, one full and in union with him, he made it possible. Satan is an expert at stealing and about taking what isn't his, about telling lies, planting false doctrine, twisting opinions. He is a hater of all that is good, all that is true. And my heart breaks because so many of us have believed his lies, who have given into the ways of the world, which he currently rules. And those that Jesus came to give life to have broken the branch and cut off their vital union with God. They have been crushed. So this word today from God is crucial. The word remain in me. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, it's not just a sinner's prayer that we say, because yes, we feel his peace, his presence in our lives, and we view life in a totally new way. But Jesus tells us to remain, and the definition of remain is to continue to exist, endure, last, carry on, persist, stay, survive, live on. These are all words that talk about what it means to remain. And in order to live the life that Jesus has intended for us, a full life, in order to not be crushed. He has told us exactly what we need to do. We need to remain. We need to decide every day to make him our Lord, to be in the Word of God, to get the truth of him in our hearts, to pray to him, which is just like talking to him, to allow his Holy Spirit to renew our minds, and to understand his heart and our identity in him. Does anyone here read the Message version of the Bible ever? Or you all just read the New Test or the, what's the NIV? Does anybody ever read the Message version? Well, I love the Message version. I have a parallel Bible, and I strongly encourage you guys, if you have the YouVersion app of the Bible, it gives you all these different translations. Sometimes when you read something and then you read another version of it, it kind of gives you a different viewpoint of it. Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. So God has done everything he can to save us. But if we grow passive, if we look away from his grace, we will embrace the world and the things of it. We will become victim to the enemy's lies, and he will destroy us. This is real. This is real life. We need to take this serious. We need to get angry with the fact that the enemy is crushing our loved ones and our friends. That is not just a coincidence that suicide is on the rise, that addictions and depression and sickness are plenty, that's his plan, that he is destructive. And when we remain in the vine and the Holy Spirit courses through the veins of our relationship, our eyes are not only open to the goodness of God, but they become aware of the schemes of the enemy. That is why it's urgent that we remain in God, not just when we feel like it or when life is really good, but every single moment that we breathe. We cannot afford to have a lazy faith, to pick and choose what works for us from the Bible. It's a matter of life or death. So I started off tonight comparing the relationship I have with my daughter to the relationship that we have with God, because I remember messages a lot better if I can personally relate to something, kind of like hands-on learning. So in order to give you a few things to take away tonight about how we can remain in God, I chose to, like I said earlier, compare it to the game Candy Crush, because then maybe whenever you guys play Candy Crush, you'll think about these things. And I'll just get in your heads a little bit, like subliminal messaging, right? Okay, so the first thing you learn about playing Candy Crush is that each level has a strategy. You cannot just randomly switch candies around hoping to clear the jelly or collect the ingredients. Each move needs to be carefully planned out, because there's nothing worse than wasting precious moves for zero results. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Who plays this game again? All you people. Okay. So the rest of you, I hope I didn't start a Candy Crush addiction, because once you start, it's really hard. But it's just a puzzle game, so it's pretty fun. Anyways, in order to remain in Christ and be a branch connected to his vine, we need to strategize. I believe that the greatest strategy we have as a Christian is to crush the outside voices and listen for God's voice. I know that life gets busy, and a lot of times reading the Bible and spending time in prayer are like the last things on our list. But in order to hear his voice and renew our minds daily and to live in tune with the Holy Spirit, this should be a priority in our lives. I know for me, in order for me to get time by myself, I have to get up an hour before the rest of the family, which is 6 o'clock. Yeah, you know, it's not too bad. 6 o'clock isn't bad. I drink coffee. Anybody drink coffee here? Are you all? Yeah, no. I forced myself to start drinking coffee because it's again another. I'm not really telling you guys to take up these bad habits. Really, I'm not. But coffee helps me, anyways. But it just gives me time to just relax before the boys get up and they need me, or before Evie needs to be fed. And I've been doing this for about 6 years now, and I know that when I do it, my days go more smoothly, my attitude is better, I'm way more productive than on the days when I sleep in or the kids get me up first. And I believe that God honors our time when we spend it with Him. I find that He multiplies the hours I have. If I have usually I'm a list person, usually I have a million lists going on, but if I can take 15 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, and just spend time with Him, He helps me get through the list a lot quicker. Also, the Bible says that we need to set our mind on things above and not on earthly things. And when we focus on God, He says that the things of this world will fade away. We will see things from a new perspective, and this changes our game plan. When we allow the Holy Spirit to invade our thoughts, He gives us our next moves. We are not ever walking alone. We are not ever left to wander and figure things out. The world will distract you, and you will find that everyone has an opinion about something. I would just urge you to get in the habit of taking everything to God in prayer before asking around, because we need to crush the voice of the enemy, and he will try to use people sometimes to distract you or to get in your head. But you're a child of God, dearly loved and chosen. And when the devil tries to define you and says otherwise with your thoughts, we need to think about the picture that Jesus has given us of the vine and the branches. He wants to be your only source, your only lifeline. So we need to crush those outside voices. So like I said as well, Candy Crush is super addictive. Because I nurse my baby girl, I spend a lot of time sitting on the couch those first few months. I would say she would eat every half an hour, and then it would be an hour long feeding. It was a lot of time on the couch. And that's when I started playing Candy Crush. And I quickly really realized that it's really hard to stop. I love to read books. I have about 50 books on my Kindle app right now, and I've been trying to read through the whole Bible. You know, I have better things to be doing with my time on the couch, but I chose instead to occupy my mind with Candy Crush. So I just was thinking, this may be crazy, but what if we were addicted to reading the Bible? That's who would think like that, right? I think it would be world-changing, personally. What if you put all that you put in your mind were teachings from the Bible, encouragements from the Bible, stories of great faith, and parables that were inspired by the Holy Spirit? How could the enemy stand up against that? We read about Jesus himself being tempted by the devil. And actually, it's one of the first things we read about him in the book of Matthew. The devil tempted him three different ways, and Jesus used scripture alone to stand against him. Underneath this scripture, in my Bible, the liner notes say, without the Holy Spirit and the proper use of God's word, the Christian cannot overcome sin and temptation. We need to realize that through the word, you have the power to resist any appeal Satan can make. To do this, you need to engraft the word of God in your heart and mind, meditate day and night on the verses you have memorized, and then recognize and obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit to obey God's word. If we can get addicted to the word of God, we can crush any temptation that comes our way. And still get, like myself, it's hard. We do other things instead. So tonight I just wanted to encourage you, God has really been speaking to my heart, to just get in his word and to really take the time to prioritize. Something else I love about Candy Crush is that if you're connected on Facebook like I am, you can get help from your friends. They come in the forms of lives or in extra moves. And the other day when I was playing it, I knew I was going to speak to you all about this. It kind of hit me that life is so much easier when we have friends who are on our side. I'm talking about Jesus-loving friends. I can't even tell you how many times in my life I've needed a solid Christian friend to give me my next move or to speak life back into me. When I've been down and listening to Satan's lies, a friend would pray over me, be Jesus' hands and feet, and come to me and just lift me out of that pit. We need to crush the enemy's influence. It is so important who you let close to you. I once heard that if you want to see what kind of person you'll become, that you just look at the 5 most influential people in your life. That's a scary thought if you're obsessed with a celebrity or are most surrounded by those who don't know the Lord. I'm not saying to put yourself in a bubble and only have Christian friends, but I'm talking about who you let inside your inside circle. You're lying to yourself if you think you are not influenced, because we all are, whether we realize it or not. It's a scary place to be in to think that we are permanently solid in Christ and can't fall, because Satan knows our weaknesses and he'll try to put people in our way to pull you down. We need each other in our Christian community. We need to hold each other accountable. I got through high school with very little temptation. I was still a virgin when I met my husband, and I had an amazing experience as a teenager. And very few people can say that today. It's not, and I'm not even that old. Like, this wasn't like in the 50s or whatever. This was like, well, the other day it hit me actually that in 5 years it'll be 20 years since my high school reunion, which is really crazy to me. But because I'm still 23 in my head, really, I'm like, I'm not that old. But if you guys can get through those 4 years of high school, honestly, 15 years later, I can count on one hand the times I've seen people that I went to high school with, except for my close friends. It goes by so fast, and then that's all it is, 4 years of your life. Don't let it change the course of your life. It matters what kind of friends you have. We can crush the enemy's influence over us by surrounding ourselves with people who love us and are praying for us. Finally, the last thing I've noticed about Candy Crush is it gets harder as the levels progress. And there's like something like over 400 of them. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm on 220. I don't know. Yeah, I get Matthew to beat the ones that are really hard for me because he's way better at the time. But you start off nice and easy, just matching colors. Who can't do that? But then they start throwing bombs in there and chocolate that tries to swallow everything around you. And they give you bad moves advice to try and tempt you to move quick. And I'm sure you're realizing as you get older as well that life is hard. Every single person in this room can attest to that. We are all being put to the test daily. Just when we have things figured out, something else is thrown at us. Sometimes we feel like we're being swallowed up, and we are given bad advice or quick ways out. We need to recognize these as spiritual attacks and remember that the enemy is out to crush us. If we are truly abiding in Jesus, it is only through his strength that we will survive, that his joy and peace will flood through us. We can pray and ask for deliverance and for God to fight for us. And sometimes these are long seasons. Sometimes they're short. But no matter what, we can know that our God is for us. And we need to live confidently that we can't be crushed. Because 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." And that was written by Paul when he was in jail. And he really was being pressed on every side. We don't in North America often, very rarely face the persecution that people face in this world today for their faith. And if Paul can say that, "I'm not crushed, I'm not in despair, I'm not abandoned, I'm not destroyed," then we can say that. Right now, your life is writing a story. It has a beginning. It has some action in it. It will have various themes and characters. But unlike most books that are still being written, your ending has already been finished. You are victorious, and your enemy is crushed, because you have a God, a hero, who has paid the ultimate price for you. He took your place in death to give you life everlasting. And I just wanted to read one more scripture and then pray over you and sing a song with you. I don't think that was very long, but today God just gave me this verse, and it hit me pretty hard because I had this whole message done. This wasn't even part of it. And then this verse came to my mind, and it just really spoke to my heart that I was talking to you today about crushing our enemies and crushing Satan in our lives and just living victorious in lives and remaining in Christ. But the fact is that Jesus already crushed our enemy for us, right? Amen. That he came for us and he took our place. And Isaiah 53:3-5 says, he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Like I said earlier, God has done everything to make it as possible, like make it so possible for us to remain in him, to live victoriously. He even gave his only son to be crushed so that you don't have to be. So why do we live like we are? Amen? Why do we live letting the devil get down on us every day? Why can't we wake up every morning and say, God, I'm going to give you my agenda today. I'm going to give you me today, and let me live in your will. Let me live victoriously, because he knows the big picture. He sees the end. So tonight, I just want to come full circle with this thought. We are only victorious through Christ. So are you connected to the vine? Are you living daily in his strength, or are we trying to do it on our own? So I'm just going to pray over you. And then I wanted to sing a song with you, Lord, I Need You. That's on PowerPoint as well for the words, if, in case they didn't have it. So God, I want to just lift these girls, these ladies up to you tonight, God. These are not easy times that we live in, Father. These are not days that usually don't have anything wrong going in on them. There are days where we're faced daily with trouble, with opposition, God, just things trying to bring us down. And God, I just pray that these girls would recognize that as what it is, Lord, that you are wanting us to live victorious, but there is a very real enemy at war with our spirits, Lord, with our trying to steal us from you, Lord. God, may we just live victorious in you, because you've already won, Lord. You were crushed for us. May we just remember who our God is and who we are in you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you've instructed us to remain in you, God, and that you will bring us to victory, Lord. I pray that as they go about their lives after this weekend, Lord, that you will just continue to walk with them and guide them and direct them, Lord, and bring them victory in their personal lives, Lord, that they can stand before you one day and you will say, my good and faithful servant. Lord, it's just so important that we get this tonight, that we can be a generation that rises up for you, Jesus, and just defeats the enemy in our lives, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you guys feel comfortable standing while we sing next song? I'm going to play it from the piano. I just have my backs to you, which is kind of weird, but I'll try. Just singing the song, Lord, I Need You. Okay. Just want to encourage you as we sing this song to just open up your hearts to him tonight and just ask him to lead you and to help you face the temptation and the enemy and the things that are going on and the bombs that are going on in your own personal lives tonight. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, you're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, God, that you're our defense tonight. And thank you, God, that you will protect us, Lord, and that you hold us up, God. Just pray over these girls, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit will just invade their hearts tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I think that's it till the boys join us, so I'm not sure. Oh, if anybody has anything they want to pray about or talk to myself. I know there's some other leaders here tonight, Sarah and Emily, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Dorothy, or any other leaders, please talk to us. Don't ever feel like you guys are going through anything alone. There's nothing we haven't been through, I'm sure. So we'd love to talk to you about anything. Thanks. Oh, thank you.